This is Radio Ghana.
Coming to you live from the National Studios and Broadcasting House here in Accra, I am George Asikri with this edition of Behind the News, where we bring you latest update and detailed analysis of current happenings in Ghana. Tonight, fallout from the CSIR warning of a more devastating armyworm invasion. 5 districts in Burna Faso record renewed invasion. How do we go about this problem? We find out shortly. And the sustained upward adjustment of fuel prices compels some drivers to increase lorry fares in Accra. How justified are they? We will hear from them tonight. Stay tuned for the next 1 hour as we bring you details of all these stories on our show. We are live on all our FM stations across the country and also live across the globe on www.gbcghana.com to our very first story. 5 districts in the Burna Faso region have again been invaded by the fall armyworm. More than 1,195 hectares of land have been infested, according to the Burna Faso Regional Director of Food and Agriculture, Dr. Cyril Quest. Staff of the ministry together with some workers of the ministry and other stakeholders are expected to help farmers manage the infestation. The latest fall army invasion comes on the heel of the strong defense being put forward by the Ministry of Food and Agriculture. Dr. Owusu Efriye Akoto and his team, they have argued that the fall army worm is under control. Not too long ago, the CSIR warned of a more devastating army worm invasion. So, is this prediction real? We have on the line Dr. Cyril Quest. He is the Burna Faso Regional Director of Food and Agriculture. Doc, good evening and welcome to Behind the News.
Good evening and good evening to your listeners.
Which are the districts in your region that have been invaded by the fall army worm?
Okay, currently we have Latibubu, Amansan, and Kranza.
Were those districts affected when the invasion began?
Yes, they were affected.
And what could be the problem? We heard it had been subsided.
Yes, you know, in the Burna Faso region, we have 2 seasons, the major and then the minor season. So the first infestation was recorded in the major season, which we were able to successfully control, and farmers have harvested and some are almost completing their harvesting. But at the same time, we have transitioned into the minor season, which means that new forests have been put under cultivation, and therefore it is expected that you can have some severe effects of the worms from the major season moving on onto the minor season crops.
Is headquarters of the ministry aware of the latest development?
Yes, they are aware.
But in the meantime, what are you doing at the regional level?
At the regional level, even at the district level, what we are doing is that we are providing the necessary chemicals to the districts, and they are controlling the worm.
Do you still have the chemicals?
Pardon?
Do you still have the chemicals?
Yes, yes. We have a lot of chemicals in stock.
But how come some districts reported that they didn't have chemicals in the Burna Faso region?
If there's any district that is reporting that it hasn't got chemicals, then the district director is not up to his task.
I know of Kintampo where I have a farm, and names were written, for instance, and the report was that they do not have chemicals. Kintampo North, to be specific.
I doubt that report. Because Kintampo North has come for chemicals, and I believe all those who have reported of infestation in their fields, I believe, have been taken care of.
Interesting. But in my village, Yepemison, Kwabia, Piska, and those places, they haven't anyway. But moving forward, How do we tackle the latest invasion?
Well, with this one, what I want to say is that managing this is a shared responsibility. The farmer has a role to play. The district office has a role, the regional office, and for that matter, the national office. The duty of the farmer is to scout and look out for the armyworm and report appropriately to the district office. And then the district office will in turn provide the necessary chemicals for the caterpillars to be sprayed. So once we all, you know, play our part, and if we'll be able to manage this successfully. And it shouldn't look as if the burden should be on, you know, one stakeholder, because we all have to work in a concerted way to be able to manage this, you know, infestation. So I think, and for this minor season, the good thing is that a lot of, you know, capacity has been built as to how to manage this. Farmers have been trained, essential agents have been trained. So this time around, the strategy seems to be working better than, you know, the major season. So I don't foresee any challenge with regard to the minor season as compared to the season.
Are we then getting the indication that you may not need any support in terms of more chemicals from national?
We will still need chemical, because what we want to do is we should have a strategic stock in place so that we'll be able to respond quickly to any requests coming from the district. As of now, at the regional level, we have enough chemicals that can take care of about 10,000 pests. Should we, you know, have that level of infestation? But as of now, the level of infestation is not that severe. And I believe once, and the other good thing too is that now we have a lot more staff from the Youth Employment Agency and National Service assisting the various districts. So we have, you know, men on the ground together with the farmers. I believe we're together, we should be able to manage the situation.
Doc, will it be fair if one says these armyworms have come to stay?
Yes, for now, you can say so. But moving forward, we need to combine all the methods of control, the biological, the cultural methods, and the chemical. So I believe once we enter the dry season, we will now begin to re-strategize for the ensuing, you know, major season that will come.
Pictorial evidence of invasion in the region, particularly vegetables, we see the way they are sprayed, and one wonders if there will not be any health implications.
Yes, vegetables, in fact, that has been a concern for some time now. It looks as if there is big use of chemicals in the vegetable producing area. But we try to teach them how to use the greatest pest management, to scout and look for the pest, and even look at the level before, you know, you go in for what kind of the chemical intervention. Sometimes you have certain beneficial insects that can even control the initial, you know, infestation of some of these vegetables. So we try to educate the farmers to understand that the solution is not always, you know, the use of chemical. Some are heeding to advice. Some too, well, are doing their own thing. But we will keep sensitizing them to make sure. And of course, sometimes just farm sanitation and even rotating of crops helps to bring down, you know, the disease burden on some of these folks. Some keep growing the same crops on the same field year in year out.
Okay.
Yes. So you build up, you know, the disease levels, because it's the same host year in, year out, and therefore, you know, they grow to higher levels. So we teach them that they should learn to rotate the crops, bring in alternative, you know, crops that are not host to those diseases that are prevalent in, you know, those areas. So that's the education we are giving to the farmers.
Increasingly, the Bonaf region is moving towards cash crop, cashew, for instance. Are they also under attack?
Yes, cashews too, we observed on caterpillars, but they are not the fall armyworm. These are different caterpillars that are found on the cashew. But the situation is not as serious as, you know, we have for the fall armyworm.
Doc, we understand in your reading some farmers are resorting to the use of ordinary neem leaves to tackle the armyworm problem. Has it come to your attention?
Yes. Even we have some of the chemicals which is made up of neem extract, neem azine, and it gives good results. And even neem was something that we used to train farmers how to prepare neem extract to use to control. It's one of the biological ways of controlling the, what do you call it,
Right. Doc, I want to thank you very much for your time on our show. Sometimes we get the reports from you on the field, and your bosses in Accra tell us a different story. But that's another platform. But thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Dr. Cyril Quest is the Bonaf Regional Director of Food and Agriculture. It's Behind the News. We are live on Radio Ghana. Also, on the line is a Techimine-based farmer, Abdullahi Mugis. Good evening, and welcome to the program.
Good evening. Thank you very much.
Are you also recording the latest invasion in your farm or any of the peasant farmers association in your places?
Yes, we are recording. I think even 3 days ago, farmers complained to us that we should come and observe how
Mugis, your line is not too clear. Can you reposition yourself and speak a little bit for us?
I'm saying that, yes, we are recording proceedings. And farmers 3 days ago called us. We should come and then see how some of the fall armyworm is destroying their farm. So we attended to them and we realized that the worms are still there and they are destroying a lot of farms.
Have you officially reported to the Ministry of Food and Agriculture?
Yes, we did report it to the Ministry of Food and Agriculture. And so what is happening here now is that the Ministry of Food and Agriculture has deployed some of the extension officers, but the few chemicals that they are using to demonstrate to the farmers as to how to use to control the fall armyworm. And then the ministry is complaining in the district level that they don't have enough chemicals. I just listened to Dr. Chris, who said they have enough chemicals in the region. But he should follow up to see how things are going, because some of the districts are complaining that they don't have enough chemicals.
So Techiman too, they complaining they don't have enough chemicals?
Yes, they do. Because the few chemicals that are there are to given to the agric extension officers to demonstrate to the farmers, but not to give to the farmers to use their farm.
Interesting. We have similar reports in Kintampo and Kransa and others, all in the Bonaf region. But if that is the case, have you, for instance, made a case at the regional level?
No, you cannot make a case at the regional level. You have to pass it through the district.
But you've heard the regional director say there's enough chemicals in the region. District level, they are telling you a different story.
That is where I don't agree to what he's saying. Fine, I don't know what is in their stock. And that is why I'm saying that if it is true that they have enough stock at the regional level and they deploy some to the district, then they should make, they should chase to see whether they are really using it to support the farmers to control this fall armyworm. Because Personally, I have been there, and then the district office is complaining that they don't have enough senators. They only gave two to the Arctic Extension Office to demonstrate to the family. Additionally, they have to also testify the education that they are giving to the family. You can get a family, you know, maybe at their house, to train them on how to call to control their phone. I mean, when you don't send them to the phone, one other thing that can control the peaceful animal is to how you spray. You understand? Some of the farmers are spraying the chemical like they are spraying with it. And that is totally different from when you want to control pest on a food. So the education that we are talking about, the sensitization should be more intensified. We should send the farmers to the field, educate them, demonstrate to them, let them see. The other thing the government is not doing well, but it's doing well, but this is intensified. As I'm talking to you, the district level is complaining that there is no enough chemicals for them to give to their farmers. They are only using the few ones to demonstrate to the farmers. Here is the case when we hear someone from the regional office is different. So where is the chemical? And it's not used for food too. So where are they?
So, with the state of affairs, is it likely that there will be some negative impact in terms of the quantity that you expect from yield?
Definitely. Because looking at the major season, the way the wind destroyed people's farm, the gross margins really affect them. Because when you look at it, those who, in some of them, even half of their farms were swapped away by this fall armyworm. So if assuming a farmer was supposed to get, let's say, 14 bucks in an acre, then the farmer ended up getting 4 bucks. You can see the level of effect. And the Ministry of Food and Agriculture, what I also suggest, that they should do some impact analysis, gross margin analysis, to find out how the winds affect farming and production. Yeah.
Have you been educated as to how to spray vegetables, for instance, with the chemicals?
Yes. I have been educated. And, you know, I'm just not a farmer, but also an agronomist. But as to whether my colleague farmers have this education is what I don't know.
But watching your colleagues, the way they do the spraying, tomatoes for instance, when they are about ripening, do you get a feeling with your background that there could be some health implications?
Yes, and that is what I was saying. Because some of the farmers, you visited them and on their farms, and then you see the way they are spraying their farms, and you tend to say, hey, this is how you are going by it. Number one, they are not able to cure the pest and the soil. Two, there is health implications. Because some of the, let's say, how to spray, when you have to look at the air direction at the moment when you spray. So when the air is blowing towards you and you are spraying at the other side, or the opposite direction, then it means the chemicals are entering you. And these farmers, as you know, they don't wear protective clothing. So the farmer ends up bathing the chemical. That has helped.
Abdullahi, I want to thank you very much for your time. Abdullahi Mugis is a Techimine-based farmer, and he's a member of the Peasant Farmers Association of Ghana. It's Behind the News. We are live on Radio Ghana. But in Parliament, there appears to be a division, whilst the ministry under the minister insists that the army worm is under control. Some other members of Parliament think otherwise. And one of such is the member of Parliament for Bulsa South, Dr. Clementa Park. Good evening, Doug, and welcome to Behind the News.
Good evening to you and good evening to our listeners. It's a pleasure to be back on GBC Radio.
Our teachers taught us that when the crocodile comes from the sea to say the alligator is sick or the fishes are not well, you don't doubt it. here we are, those who have been mandated with the blessing of our taxes to take care of our food, say the army worm is under control. You think otherwise. Why?
Well, first of all, as a member of parliament representing a rural community whose subsistence is based on taking the land, in this case, peasant agric. I was in parliament when the Minister for Agric had to come before the August House to answer a question which was filed by the Member of Parliament for Mion in the Northern Region. And he declared at the time that the four army worm had been defeated. But I can tell you on authority that the same day that he made that statement, several of us who were from the Middle Belt to the northern parts of this country were getting these texts and other platforms to the effect that what the minister was saying was not true. Lo and behold, when we went on recess, I went home to my constituency, Butser South, after the Public Accounts Committee, of which I am a member, rose. And indeed, in every single community in my constituency of Butser South that I visited, I saw evidence present of the activity of the fall army worm. So for the ministry to still claim that the army worm has been defeated certainly cannot be factual and then truthful.
What you have seen on the ground, will there be an impact in terms of productivity this year?
Well, that is where I have the problem. I don't doubt that in spite of the infestation by the army worm, we will still be able to produce enough to sustain our population. But the issue is the localized parts of this country where the impact of the army worm has been so severe, particularly with regards to the peasant farmer. We are speaking about people who make their livelihoods by cultivating half an acre, 1 acre, 2 acres. And that is what saddens me. Because when the minister spoke about the impact, what he said was that my constituency of Butser South, the total acreage cultivated, even if the army worm was to destroy all of that, it still will not impact the food supply of this country. But what is going to happen to those people, the small persons, the downtrodden, the vulnerable, who can only survive on half a hectare, a quarter of a hectare, 1 hectare, 2 hectare farms? Are we saying that simply because perhaps the army worm has been controlled in other parts of this country, those who are being affected, who have no voice, should be left to their own fate? These are the questions I'm asking.
But is it not logical, if you're doing deduction, that if we're talking of a national crisis, quote-unquote, and just a small percentage of the farmer population is affected, we shouldn't be lamenting too much?
No, we are not talking about lamentations, but we are talking about those farmers who have lost all their investment. And I can tell you that while I use my constituency as an example, I have received several complaints from my colleagues about the same situation. You go to Boko Central, it's the same. You go to Ejira in the Bronga Hafo region, it's the same. You go to Pada, it's the same. So the fact still remains that in spite of all the effort that government claims to have made, rightly so, the worm is still alive and is still continuing to devastate farms. You see, the nature of our country and our planting and harvesting calendar also follows the geographic terrain and even the type of crops planted in different parts of this country. So just because maize and other food crops in the Bronga Ahafo region or even in parts of the northern region were not being attacked by the fall armyworm, does not mean that in other parts of the country, in the upper east and the upper west, the pest is not alive and well.
Doc, I want to thank you very much for your time on our program. Wish you all the best.
It's always a pleasure, but the truth must be told.
Dr. Clement Apak is the Member of Parliament for Bulsa South. It's Behind the News Live on Radio Ghana. We also have on the line President of the Ghana Agriculture Chamber of Commerce and a former National Best Farmer, Philip Abayore. Good evening and welcome to the program.
Good evening. Thank you.
From where you sit, where do we position the level of treatment of this armyworm invasion?
Yeah, I will say that I think you realize that the farmer has said it all. The armyworm infestation is not discriminatory. And, you know, these are pests which multiply within a very short time. So even if you have today, in less of about 50 or 100 of them, they will regather, and within the next 3 days, will come in their thousands. So we need to up our game to ensure that now they have come to live with us and use all manner of systems to be able to control them, like the biological way, and then also ensure that our farmers, one and the other, to know the time to spray, because they come out at night more than day. So in that, instead of spraying in the morning, they could spray them in the evening. And then also, we now need to make sure that we add this into our crop by knowing that at any time we could face this kind of phenomenon. And one thing I will say is that this is not a political issue, and we need to look at it as an issue that needs to be addressed for our national food security. We cannot also discount that the Minister of Food and Agriculture has done from the beginning, because from the beginning it was evident that we were going to be consumed by this armyworm when it started. But lo and behold, they succeeded in being able to do 90% of the job. As the seasons are not the same. When you finish propping in the southern sector, the first season, you go to the northern sector, and you realize that they moved from the southern sector to the northern and then upper east, upper west, and then now they are moving back. But within that area in the north, some crops have grown to a point that the armyworm will not tell it to at least devastate them, because they are always able to devastate the tender ones. When the maize grow or something like that at a particular point, it will be difficult for them to be totally destroyed. So what we need to do as a nation is to work food and agriculture for one or two reasons. As the parliamentarian is saying, resource them with more money to make sure that their emergency preparedness is okay, so that they will have enough chemicals for. And even now, for one or two reasons, that there are shortages in various places and they may have financial inadequacy, they should be supported to do that. And I think that we should be able to look at this as a national food security issue. It shouldn't be for political gain that the minister has said will be
Policy level, we're getting the impression that the problem is under control. On the ground, we're getting a different report. But we know where the cash comes from.
You see, I'm talking from the ground. And I'm talking as a private organization, looking at the way we cooperate with organizations. When this armyworm started, we have interactions and we keep on going to discuss. We know that if you go ahead and treat this armyworm as we are treating them now, you will think you have totally complete. The fewer that will be left will feel rejuvenated. And you realize that the scientists spoke about farm hygiene. Our farm hygiene, and apart from that, our methods of even controlling the armyworm too is something that we need to readdress so that at least can have full control. The problem does not lie only in the Ministry of Food. It also lies in us to be able to do things properly. I think that no farmer wants his crop to be destroyed. And for that reason, if the crop is destroyed, his whole livelihood is being threatened. So we should look at it in this manner. We should take and say, we said we have eradicated armyworm, we are still finding them. We will still find them because they will reach the list, but they have been minimized. They used to be. And they will never be because of the kind of attack that has been done on them. So their number has reduced, and now we can hope that that level of support, we may totally now ensure that they are minimized. But that notwithstanding, we need to ensure that we now are ready from now to any time that we are doing cropping, we make contingency arrangements to ensure that we have the capacity to be able to work in. We as an organization are not sitting down because we think that the Zambians are not lying on only government. We are also stakeholders. So in one way and the other, we are also working and then getting some support from the ground to support the farmers, so that we ensure that we are able to even support them with some conventional sprayers where we can spray in larger areas. So all that is being done in collaboration, but that should not mean that the ministry is not working or they don't know what is happening. You supply the chemical today, it's sprayed tomorrow, there is an issue. And you have to keep on doing it. So we should have a point that we call it a cut-off point because resources are being put in. When you are putting the resources and continue to put in, we need the resource. So all this needs to be taken into consideration so that we don't politicize the issue as if it's politics. This is real food security. I don't know politics. If you are hungry, you are hungry. Whether you are from any other party, you are hungry. So we need to look at it in this particular way. It's not all crops, but those crops that are attacked are the cereals, especially and vegetables, which we need to be concerned about.
Oh, like a hypodermic needle, the communication students will say, we were hit with this in the form of a surprise, and so maybe panic action. But moving forward, the CSIR is predicting of a more devastating future invasion. How do we position ourselves to meet that?
That is why I'm saying that we as organizations, integral with the farmers, need to also help. We need to be able to also build, have a capacity to respond, to support our members in one way or the other. Because if the magnitude, look at the whole of this vast country, if they said the government alone or Minister of Food and Agriculture alone should buy chemicals and be able to eradicate a pest, which is constantly by the day. So we are working out, as I'm speaking to you, to our friends, and trying to put things in, already started, so as we are also ready to be able to support. But as I said, need to look at it as an issue which threatens our own food security, not a political, in a political dimension. When we do that, we deviate from the issues and eventually we will not be able to achieve what is meaningful to be able to solve this problem.
All right. I want to thank you very much for your time on Behind the News tonight. We are very grateful, sir.
Thank you very much.
Philip Abayore is the president of the Ghana Agriculture Chamber of Commerce. He is also a former national best farmer. This is Behind the News. We are live on Radio Ghana. We also have on the line Abu Kasang Bata. He is the acting executive director, Savannah Ecological Development Think Tank. Good evening and welcome to the program.
Yeah, good evening, George, and good evening to your cherished listeners.
What is the armyworm situation in your operational area?
Well, I thank you very much, George. I must admit strongly that the fall armyworm invasion in the northern savanna ecological zone, and part of Bron and Havre region, is more pervasive, it's more devastating. Well, as we all know, the fall armyworm can be one of the more difficult insects or pests to control in the field. It's very difficult. And I've listened to your resource person who just spoke. Well, I would advise that we still have more to do, especially in the northern part of Ghana and part of the country as a whole. George, if government don't put in measures to address this the fall armyworm and treat it with kid gloves, we are likely to hit with food insecurity in the country. I must admit, let me say that I've heard the Minister for Agri, and I, from our position as a policy thing that operate within our catchment area, I wouldn't want to say the minister chew more than he can bite. He ought to be in the field and engage stakeholders, especially the media houses and other stakeholders like the indigenous farmers and the commercial farmers, and more especially civil society organizations that are into agriculture activities, to engage them and do more effective dialogue. If not, we are likely to hit food insecurity in the country.
Are you not creating fear and panic? We know of the figures on the ground. Yes, individuals are affected and it has a toll on their families. But when you look at the national average, even what has been infected,
the figures is insignificant. In our region are quite appalling, especially in the Sisala West and part of Born Half region are quite appalling. George, I must admit that people who are deeply affected with this poor armyworm cannot even complain. That is why I'm saying that the minister chew more than he can bite. For me, and from our perspective, we think that government ought to do something to ensure that this country we don't see.
What do you want government to do? Government has allocated 16 million, half of which has gone into chemicals, and the regional directors of health are all confirming that they still have the chemicals in stock. So what else do you want government to do?
You see, government allocate to the region. The region allocate to the district. If you find out from the district and even the district extension offices, whether they have enough resources, a motorbike to move to the outlandish or remote communities, whereby it is difficult to reach out to farmers, whether they can have access to those indigenous farmers or commercial farmers to provide them with chemicals. That is another point. In paper, George, in paper, it reflects positive. But practically on the field, it doesn't. So I sincerely disagree with the minister that the government indeed have allocated huge sum of money to enable us to fight the fall armyworm in the country.
Why are you disagreeing? What is it that you are disagreeing with? That's a fact. Yeah, the amount we know.
George, we are in the field, and I'm telling you the reality in the field, that it is not something that we should be jubilating.
Are you talking of practical challenges on the ground, or you are disagreeing that, yes, amount of money has been allocated, well, chemicals have been bought, which is factual?
I'm not disagreeing in respect of the amount that has been allocated. I'm not. But I'm saying, practically, if the amount has been released by government, as you mentioned, and as the minister indicated, but it's, well, therefore, I believe that government indeed has provided enough chemicals. But I'm saying that practically, it's not happening. People are not really feeling it.
So those are real difficulties on the ground we should all try to address. So why do you lay the blame on government?
It's the issue. So the issue has nothing to do with. One of that is the main cause, to provide chemicals. But you have to also engage the stakeholders. You do agree with me that, George, if I'm introducing a new innovation, there is something that we call trial and acceptability. Before the people can adopt it and accept it and implement it to achieve results, certainly you have to engage major stakeholders to continue to do community sensitization and education.
As much as $8 million has been allocated for that purpose, and that is also ongoing.
I agree, but I'm saying that the sensitization is not enough. We need to do door-to-door sensitization, to engage the indigenous farmers. Not if we are playing politics over this issue.
You are playing politics.
No, I'm not playing politics. I'm speaking from a professional perspective that practically what is happening in the Northern Savannah Ecological Zone is not friendly to our farmers. And if we don't take time, we can hit food insecurity in this country. And that can cause a lot. So that is why I'm saying that the government indeed have allocated money to fight against the fall and the wind. Perfectly agree. Government has indeed made positive steps to address the issue. But the fact of the matter is that whether the people are supposed to supervise and do effective monitoring to ensure that we eradicate or we fight the fall armyworm are indeed working effectively with the farmers.
All right.
Whether they are not even smuggling the chemicals away.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I'm sure you have a responsibility of making central government aware of if there are practical challenges on the ground.
Is number one region. We know some politicians who are supporting party supporters to smuggle these things away.
Well, we cannot independently ascertain that, so we are unable to agree to that. You make those on your own.
We are here to provide evidence.
Right. When you provide the evidence, we go with it. Thank you very much for your time on our show tonight. Abu Kasambata is the Acting Executive Secretary of Northern Savannah Development Think Tank. It's Behind the News. We are live on Radio Ghana. We'll be back after this short break.
Nyeme okwafoe afine ni honele gogomihe ni atole amiwem efite abelengmo pi efite abelejila ojogban afine ke noni baabale eyemi yake amiwem ne baanye ni efite abelengmo ke ehes namo efe ye abele sele amiwem ne nyo efite ongomli ni bi kroko metamo soyabin omo sorghum ma inkatie kaopi odonti sabolai ke cabbage ke anye anane ke amiwem ne sem Bejiano Tony Sani, Anyo Akefo, Amesele, Wani Efite Amenuchumo, Esa Ake Okafue, Yo, Amemomni, Ochi Fe, Ochi, Kaku, Koni, Ami Wemne, Akafite Amemojile Amni, Bene Jibe, Papani, Onyo, Ocha, Agric Extension, Nuchumo, Hebile, A Law Advance, Nuchumo, Hebile. Kai mo ake, ami wem ne yo mommi ni bi mla, ni enyo efiti ni bi pi ye be kukumi. Kai ame waji ni ameng mele drale. E bi bi le yo baji ni yo tole no. Ame shio ni bi ni belo ye baji le ahi. Ke ame na ame dale. Ame yo abele baale ni ame shio bu bi bi ye baji ami. Alo ame folo e baji ahi. Kon kon. Kolo e ne aten kome yo ke boto yo tole mni. Ke ya heni e kuwa yele. Enek bi yo tole alo e hani tole. Chole akwenjuba. Keji wo ngonhulo e na nibi ine mlaye wa akutu ene ami. Esa ake ame wo onukpa e ni kwa ngomli nibi ine ahi sanjini no tamo. Agriculture extension onukpa e. Eee. Ye wa akutu ele Ministry of Food and Agriculture nichumo hele. Ni ame kwe haamo ene nikba okwafoe anane mla. Obanye ocha ame yekpa anenu. 026-6222-002. Alo 020-1212-121. Lo 057-76-62-000. Nichumo neje USAID Advanced Project ke Plant Protection and Regulatory Service Directorate, PPRSD. Ye Ministry of Food ke Agriculture, MOFA. Feed the Future ke U.S. Government Global Hunger and Food Security Initiative. Ni advance ni chulo e ke kuo ngomli ni bi ke amenoya. Ni ewa abele omo ke soya bi hese namo ye Ghana.
Hello James, they cannot say you omo moto we no so. Mi wini ambi.
Sorry. We need credit PR with the better call iso.
Oh, me pouch your debi.
Adenti.
Go in here, pal.
And yes, I say, and can with the credit go so.
Hey, come back to me, and answer some to me, it's me to me.
Now, Adenti, I won't borrow credit.
Borrow credit? Say.
So, global credit so bet me free airtime, no it's your nature, and yet didn't cry. And once I was star 5321 hash, not the insurance so. So, open 1 Ghana cedis, 2 Ghana cedis, and now 5 Ghana cedis. Send me on so.
Wow! Fantastic!
Glow, homa, we hear them.
Sorry, oh, James. Hey, send me a mecano. Mecano, say, oh, motorway, and so. Now,
Casasia, not your nature, oh, global credit so.
The Grandmasters of Data. Glow Ghana.
Welcome back. Some of your messages here. Alhassan Wumwana in Wa says, the government is doing well, is making all the effort in fighting against these army worms in the country. Kenneth Abrusu in Ho says, the Greek minister should by now be joining his deputy at home for deceiving Ghanaians that they have combated the army worm invasion. Abdullah Elias, Minister Santani in Tonlon, says, I think the Ministry of Agriculture and its agencies must sit up and look for ways and means of controlling the army worm invasion. Philip Kubrisu in Ofenso North says, this army worm is destroying farms. The government doesn't have any pragmatic measures to curb the menace. Salam Kasalgu says, the fuel increment is very worrying and government needs to look at it. Behind the News is indeed an authoritative news and current affairs program. We pray it is sustained. When will everyday English bounce back? Nuruddin Abdul Basit Takrade is asking when everyday English will bounce back. It's Behind the News live on Radio Ghana, and moving on to other stories. Drivers this morning woke up to meet a whooping 8% rise in fuel price at the pumps. The Chamber of Petroleum Consumers confirmed the increment to Radio Ghana, describing the situation as regrettable. In a sharp response, some drivers have decided to increase lorry fares in the national capital here, Accra. Behind the News examines the phenomenon of rampant increases in fuel cost and a consensus that drivers should not increase lorry fares except to do that twice in a year. We have on the line David Agbodu, and he is one of the stakeholders in this discussion. Good evening, welcome to Behind the News.
Thank you. The name is David Agbodu.
David Agbodu, and which is your union?
My union is Concerned Drivers Association.
Is it a registered union?
Yeah, it's a registered union.
Well, so why have you decided to increase lorry fares?
We have decided to increase lorry fares because we buy fuel and sell it to consumers. And the fuel have been increased, so we have to sell it how it is increased to the consumers. That's how we have increased the fare.
But are you aware that as a country we have agreed that you have two opportunities within a year to increase lorry fares?
Yeah, we knew that. But you know something? That ends when the whole thing was passed to deregularization. You know something? We will wake up early in the morning, go to the pump, realizing that the fuel price has increased. It has happened within a period of a month, let me say 2 months, the fuel price has increased five times. And the problem or the structure is when it is 10%, we'll increase it. But now they don't come out straightly 10%. They will increase it 5.5%, 6%, 8%. Then they decrease it 2%. Then they increase it 4.5%, 5.5%. That's what they have been doing. And even this increment of 8-something%, it is 13% that they indicated. But they bring 8-something. Remaining the 5%, they will increase. Within, from today up to, let me see, a week later, they will increase that 5%. They will add on to date that 5%.
I thought we all agreed that, we agreed in the past that that should be the best way so that you don't dislocate the budget of the consumer.
That was the initial agreement. But I said it ended when the whole thing has been given to boss. You see, they will go to the market and go and purchase it at that price and come and sell it to us at the price that they have been purchased in the world market.
Well, but I know that there's still that agreement between government of Ghana and other stakeholders that you have two chances or two opportunities to increase lorry fares. Now that you have unilaterally increased lorry fares, what happens if all your colleagues are increasing their fares?
Yeah, that is what is going to happen. It's not what happens to. It's going to happen because you will buy the fuel at high cost and then go and sell it at lower cost. Nobody trade like that. You trade to profit.
How much did you increase your fares by?
30%.
And what went into that 30%?
The fuel is 30%. The agreement is if it is 10%, we increase it. Now they have increased the fuel up to 30%.
But you know there are laws in the country?
There are laws in the country, yes. We haven't violated any law. The law is every 6 months. And the increment that we did was in January. And we are in the 8th month or 9th month.
Who did you consult before increasing the fares?
Did they consult us before increasing the fuel too? Were we consulted before increasing the fuel?
But are you in a position to compete with the state when it comes to these things?
We are not competing with the state. You see, in this afternoon, at one of our sister station, when we were there, they called the necessary authorities that are involved. You see, when everything, they say government, but when it comes to petroleum like this, they say, oh, it has been given to boss, it has been given to deregulation, it has been this, that. Why, if it is petrol, when it comes to increments here, we are against the law. But when it comes to we increasing the fare, the lorry fare, then it is we, our problem. No? When they were increasing...
Do you have the blessing of other unions for this increase? Do you have the support of other driver unions?
We have a support of all the drivers' unions. We have support from all the drivers' unions.
You mean other drivers too are increasing their fares?
Yes, others are increasing. Two drivers' unions have increased it.
Which are those?
Two have increased it.
Which are those? Which are those unions?
Union. They are also transport unions.
Which are those? Which are they?
Two drivers' unions have increased it.
And their names are?
I said True Drivers Union.
Oh, that's a union.
Yeah, True Drivers Union. It's also a union on its own.
So, why do you ply? Which route do you ply?
The unions is cut across. It's cut across. We don't have one route to apply. We apply all the routes that GPRQ is applying, all the route that cooperative is applying, all the route that ProTwa is applying. All the routes that all the stakeholders are using. We are also using the
Do you have road. Stations where you load?
Yeah, that is what I'm saying. We have different stations. We have Accra, we have Tema, we have Ashama, we have 37, we have, name it, all the stations, we do apply them.
But you know that GPRTU has not increased fares.
You mentioned GPRTU. It's not GPRTU alone that is in the industry.
So If you are in the station loading and GPRTU, which is the biggest, is not taking extra fares, and you are doing so, certainly demand supply, you will be out of business.
We will not be out of business. You see, when you go to all the filling stations across Ghana, Total have its own price. Shell have its own price. Name it. All the filling stations have their prices.
David, are you aware that as we speak, the major filling stations have not adjusted their fuel prices?
Yes. Master, when you go, I said this on one of the sister stations in the afternoon. When you go to the filling station,
mm-hmm.
at the pump, you will see it reading. I'm a driver, flies. Every day that I close, I buy fuel of 100 Ghana. But now, when you are going to the pump and you want to buy, you buy 130. That tells you the pump has been tempered with, or the fuel price has been increased.
But on the board, which is the authoritative one, we know when you go to Goyal, when you go to Shell, when you go to Total, I mean, as of 6 p.m. this evening, they haven't increased fuel.
Yeah, the others have increased. As you just said.
Anyway, I want to thank you very much for your time on our show. David Agbuodu is with the Committed Drivers Association of Ghana. Also on the line is Charles Danson. And David is concerned drivers, and Charles is with the Committed Drivers Association of Ghana. Charles Danson, good evening. Welcome to the program.
Good evening, George, for having me.
Have you also increased lorry fares?
Please, no.
Why?
Yeah, George, I think your time is running up, and I will say a very good evening to your listeners. In fact, this petrol increment, as I'm speaking now, in fact, in the afternoon when your producer called me, I've gone to several filling stations, the Guel filling station, Shell filling station, but the prices still remains at 4.130. Which is, when you calculate it by 4.5, it's about 860 pesos. They haven't increased as a gentleman was talking about. And in fact, this increment of lorry fares, we should be careful of increment of lorry fares, because we shouldn't forget we are competing with Ayalulu and those car company which has come into the scene. Which we term it as a calamity in the transport sector. You see, if we did not take cautious of this, go wrong, and our work even collapse. You see, so I would like to advise my brother, if we have something to do, we have to demonstrate, or we have to pressure the government to come and then explain and then come to where wherever we want it to be. So it isn't like we push it on the passengers. In fact, Metro Mass is working. They are going long journey. If yours is very higher, they will go to Metro Mass or elsewhere. So we are telling my brothers to be cautious, and then we should meet and then treat this matter at where the government will understand us and then bring it down to where, because, you know, we have the OMCs and the BDCs. They are working for their own, but at the end of the day, I think it's the government who regulates it. So we have to find way of treating this matter.
Do you have an agreement with government to increase lorry fares twice in a year?
In fact, George, I've read the road law and even the constitution of Ghana. It is not in anywhere that whenever they increase fuel, you have to wait till 6 months. Or in fact, it was suggested by some unions previously, but as we are speaking now, whenever the fuel is being increased, they don't tell us. And then, if George, let's say today, this increased fuel, maybe they brought the fuel to the filling station maybe 3 days or 4 days ago. Why don't it take time before they then start selling at the new price? At some filling station yesterday night, in fact, I was working, I was moving around, and most of the filling stations we used to sell at night shut it down. So we didn't understand what was going on, but just today before we said, but I was on my way going to some place before I heard that the fuel price I'll jump up.
Okay.
You see, so we have to sit and then tell the government to be cautious of the petroleum sector.
All right, Charles. We want to thank you very much for your time, and I thank you for not increasing lorry fares so that we can go to work. Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you too.
Charles Danson is the chairman of the Committed Drivers Association of Ghana. Some of the text messages: Odewale says, who is the ordinary Ghanaian farmer? The truth about the army worm palava is the politician. AU Farouk in Tamil says, the agri ministry should come down north and see things for themselves. Sitting in their offices in Accra saying army worm has been controlled is totally false. They should stop the propaganda. Mashud Kukum in Tamil says, hi George, it is quite clear that the Ministry of Food and Agriculture has done their part to combat these worms, but much measures have to be put in place. The Minister of Agriculture need seats and extension officers across the country to see how this army worm is damaging farmers' crops on their farms. The minister must wake up to the task. Jake Ennis, Aye in Kaliu, sent in that, and our time is up. Thank you very much for your text messages, and thank you for listening to us. My producers have been set here: John Pobi, Belland, Elom Tete, Sarah, Teni Babu Hima, and John Akampale. Hannah Wusu Bempa was our sound engineer, and I'm George Asikri. Good night.